Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to do what are the three things? Know God, love God, serve God. You are good. You are good. So whether you're here in the sanctuary with us or if you're joining us online, I see last week there were 74 people who were with us online. We're glad that you're here. We're glad to have you as part of our church family. And if you happen to be visiting with us for the first time today, we want to let you know that we have a gift for you. And you can receive that by just stopping at the welcome desk. It's actually a pretty good gift. So stop there or look for me or Pastor Lindsay or one of our friendly links who have name tags on, or anybody. If you see somebody that's new, you can go over to the welcome desk and you can give them the gift. We would appreciate it. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Tom Doan and Stephanie Nikoff. And Pastor Lindsay is bringing the next message in that series that we're doing about unwrapping those challenging Bible passages. You know, there's a few passages that you just kind of go, what? Did Jesus really say that? And how on earth do you sort those out? So we'll be doing that. I would like to invite you to complete the connection card. It's the beginning of a new month, so that means the card is different than it was last week. So you got to turn it over and see what the new opportunities are. Put a check mark by things that you might like to be part of, and we will reach out to help you let that happen. If there's something going on in your life that is carrying heavy weight in your heart, and you would love for us to be praying with you, take one of those prayer cards that's in the pew rack right in front of you, fill it out, put the prayer card and also the connection card into the offering plate, and we will be reaching out and we will be praying for you. Now, I have just a few announcements today. First of all, the Easter egg hunt. Now, we've been talking about this, and it's not till March 21st, so you're wondering, why? Well, it's March 21st, but today is the last day to bring in candy. So if you didn't bring candy today, you would have time after church to go over to Meijer's or somewhere. We need 2,000 individually wrapped pieces of candy, and we're a little behind, and so I think tomorrow morning Pastor Lindsay's going out shopping and the church will need to pay for whatever we don't donate. So if you could get out and help that would be wonderful. Another announcement. If you would like to learn more about this church family, if you are maybe considering joining, you're invited to come to our new member class that starts this evening. We're going to meet for two Sundays from 4:30 to 6, and then we meet again next Sunday. And then those who choose at the end of the class that they'd like to join, they will join on March 22nd at whichever service they prefer. But it's okay to come to the class and just find out who we are and not join, and that's all good. We love you either way. We just love to have you here. But there will be childcare and there will be a light meal. So let me know, or Pastor Lindsay, because we got to have enough pizza also, okay? Men, are you interested in going on a trip up to Lake Louise Camp this spring? In April, Pastor John and a group of whatever guys want to go are going to go up there. There'll be a retreat with fellowship and worship and devotions, but it also will be a chance to help the people at the camp open up the camp for all of the summer camping. So clearing trails and being outside, there'll be a lot to do. So we invite you to think about that and let Pastor John know. This will be our third year to do this. Now, let me add one fourth one. Next Sunday, if you don't remember this important item, you will miss this service. What would that be? Daylight savings time is next Sunday. And so there's clocks are springing forward, and you would get here just in time for coffee hour. So coffee hour is great, and you could stay for 11, but we'd love to have you here. So with all of that, I invite you now to stand for the opening hymn, I Am Thine, O Lord, number 419.
Good morning. Welcome to March. In like a lion, out like a lamb. Please join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, Lord and Savior, thank you for walking beside us no matter what the circumstances are. Thank you for your mercy that lets us start over anew each day. Help us to recognize your call on our lives and give us strength to put following you first. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Luke 14, 26, 27. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I'm Pastor Lindsay. I'm one of the pastors, the clergy that serves the congregation here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake, alongside Pastor Lynn and Deacon Loretta, as well as Pastor John and Pastor Hazel and Reverend Cora Glass. We have an awesome team with a great congregation, and it is joyful to be with you in worship today. I woke up this morning and I was looking out the kitchen window and I went, yes! It's sparkly snow day. Don't you just love it? Like in a March day, if it's going to snow, at least it's sparkly and beautiful outside. So my heart is filled with love and joy. And it is good to be with you in worship. And wasn't the scripture just like incredibly uplifting that Tom read for us this morning? We are going to be unpacking this really challenging, challenging scripture passage. And as we do this, I would invite you to join me in prayer because this is tough stuff. Let's pray. Oh, good. Oh, gracious God. Oh, for the beauty of this creation that you have given us, we give you great thanks for sparkly snow days and for moments to gather in worship, to come and experience your love and grace in a new way. We give you thanks. But the call of discipleship also puts forward very perplexing, challenging scripture passages to us, Lord. And so may you speak to us in this time of contemplating the scripture. May our hearts be open to receive. May our hands be unclenched. May our minds be expanded. May our hearts be open to you. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You God, who are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Amen. So it's a beautiful, sparkly snow day, but on the summer days, oh, the Lake Michigans and all these beautiful other lakes around us, when they're flowing bodies of water, isn't it so fun to get out there on the water and experience maybe jet skiing or fishing or inner tube stuff? Or do you ever like just to get out in the boat, kayak? Are there any water sport people among us? I grew up in Nebraska, so we don't have a whole lot of lakes, but I do remember a few times getting out on a few small little lakes. I mean, they'd be like ponds here, but getting out on a few lakes in Nebraska, and I have these great memories of going fishing with my dad and my uncles and my cousins. And I remember I was real little. I must have been an elementary kid. There was this one summer, the summer of catching 100 fish. And we got out, and I don't know if it's a fisherman's tale or if we actually caught 100 fish out that day. And maybe they were these little tiny things, but we were out on the water catching all these little fish. And my dad and I used to go out to Branched Oak Lake near Lincoln, and we'd go fishing together, and I have fond memories of that time together. Are there any fishermen, any fisher people out there? Yes, 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 yes. You know what I'm talking about. It's fun, but I'm not a worm person. So fun to fish. I had the joy a couple weeks ago of having my parents in town, and that was great. I loved to spend some time with them. They came in to cheer my daughter on for her jump rope competition, and I have a really great relationship with my parents. I'm really fortunate to see them a handful of times a year, and I love spending quality time with them. So when we come to a scripture passage like this morning, are you perplexed? Are you scratching your head just a little bit with it? I realize that not everybody has positive relationships with their family members. Maybe spouse relationships are tension-filled, or the parent-child relationships are tension-filled, or as adults, or the young ones, right? So I understand that not every relationship is just joy and love, that there are times in life when we have these tension-filled moments. I know that some people have experienced abuse and there is deep pain, and so perhaps if you're reading the scripture from that lens, it begins to sort of justify your feelings about feelings of hatred. But if you do have a positive relationship with your family, what are we supposed to do with this scripture? Aren't we supposed to love our family? And yet, when we read the gospel lesson that took us to Matthew chapter 14, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So what are we supposed to do with this? I've been wrestling with it for a few weeks. I'm going to ask for your grace. We're going to get there. So thinking of fishing this morning, I was remembering another great story about fishing, not personally, but in the Gospels. So there is a great story. We're going to discover Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. And he's going to encounter some family members as they are off fishing. He's going to recruit his team of disciples to follow him. And we're going to find ourselves in Matthew's gospel, returning to chapter 4. So feel free to pull out your phone and look it up online. You can text in or search in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Or if you'd like to pull up in your pew Bible, you're welcome to do that. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 is where I'm starting. The call of the first disciples. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And so immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. They followed Jesus. As he went on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets. And he called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That day out on the seashore, Jesus calls to the first two brothers. They wander away. They join him. Then he calls to James and John and Zebedee. They're out in the boat, and they drop the nets, and they follow. Now, I've preached on this scripture many times, the call of discipleship, hearing that story of Jesus and following. I've preached on this a number of times, but I have to be honest. Never once have I really thought about preaching from the perspective of Zebedee. What about that father? As he is in the boat with his two sons, and they're out doing their normal day's work, they're fishing, they're mending nets, they're catching fish, they're having good bonding quality time together, just like they maybe did day after day after day. And I bet Zebedee, as an adult dad with those young adult sons, just loved this time together with his sons. I've never thought about this from Zebedee's perspective. And all of a sudden, somebody they probably didn't know maybe particularly well calls out to those boys, "John, James, come on, come follow me. We're going to fish for people now." Well, what's that about? And all of a sudden, as the dad's sitting there in that boat, off walk the boys. What do you think Zebedee was feeling that day in that moment? As he watches those boys wander off to go follow Jesus. Have you ever thought about this perspective from the dad's experience frame of reference? Maybe he's sitting there going, "What did I do? Did I say something wrong this morning? What happened? I thought things were going so well. What happened? Do you guys hate me or something?" And off the boys go. What's going on in Zebedee's mind? Was he rolling through the index of things that could have gone wrong? "What did I do? Do you hate me or something?" And off they go. When we journey a little bit farther in the Gospel of Matthew, a whole one chapter later, so look up Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. So go ahead and pull out your smartphones again and look it up. Isn't it fun to be able to use your phones in worship? Grab your smartphone, look it up, or grab your pew Bible, Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. Jesus says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of the members than for your whole body to go into hell. I'm adding on the complexities of these scriptures. Are we supposed to hate family members, and now are we supposed to go around, according to Jesus, cutting off our hands and poking out our eyes? I don't think Jesus necessarily intended us to go around chopping off hands every time we're struggling or poking out eyes every time we're struggling, but perhaps this is a very extreme, elaborate, over-the-top way of communicating a greater point there. Get rid of whatever was that struggle in that moment. But we see in Jesus' perhaps style of speech, or the biblical writer's style of writing, a rather extreme, over-the-top kind of grandiose experience there. Do you ever sort of get caught up and you sort of exaggerate a bit? Are we really supposed to be plucking out eyes and cutting off hands? I think not. But perhaps there's something there for us to consider as we wander our way back to hating family members and following Jesus. What's the greater message there? Perhaps it's this understanding that we don't have to take the scripture literally. We don't have to literally hate our family in order to be disciples of Jesus. But perhaps there's something for us to understand that there could be a cost to following Jesus. When we choose to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, when we choose to follow in his footsteps, sometimes that's a hard call to discipleship. For example, my kids spend a lot of time with the church. A lot of good things happen. Easter egg hunts and parents' nights out in Sunday school and youth group gatherings. My son's looking forward to youth group in the fall. There's a lot of good things that happen, but my kids do spend a lot of time here in the evening for some meetings. And every now and then, they just want to go home. Mom, I hate you. Why do we have to be at the church again for an evening meeting? What's that I heard? Mom, I hate you? They don't really. But they might want to just go home after school and hang out. And yet there were those words, and there's sometimes a cost to following as a disciple of Jesus. Have you ever had challenging conversations with the family around the Thanksgiving dinner table? Have you ever not quite seen eye to eye on things, but your faith is informing your perspective in the world or your understanding of life, and all of a sudden there's this tension-filled moment? Sometimes following Jesus, it's going to lead to some rough, bumpy moments in life. But I don't think Jesus wants us to choose. I think there's a both and. Perhaps this is a little bit of an exaggerated moment here. We're not really poking out eyes and cutting off hands. We don't really have to hate the family members in order to be a disciple of Jesus. But the call of discipleship is hard. Sometimes putting Jesus first can be hard, and it might lead to someone saying, oh, where am I? Do you hate me? And Zebedee is in the boat, spinning his wheels, going, what did I do wrong? What do I do wrong? And those boys just heard that call of Jesus and faithfully followed. Are you with me? It's tough stuff. Amy Jill Levine is a professor, a scholar, a biblical scholar for sure, particularly a biblical scholar of, well, the Old and New Testament. We'll just say she's a biblical scholar in general. I hope that you will pick up a copy of this book and wrestle with it. I hope, we're just on to week two, I hope that your schedule is clear and you can stick around, enjoy some good fellowship and coffee hour time, and then I hope you're going to stop by, and Dean and Julia Curry are in the back corner, they're waving their hand, and I hope you're going to join their small group where we're going to discuss more about this book in their small group. Because it's tough stuff, these lessons of Jesus. We don't always come to worship feeling like we're ready to chew on these sorts of things. And yet, this is a part of the scriptures. So what do we do with it? Let's not ignore it and push it aside. But here we are in Lent, tackling and unpacking the really challenging stuff. So I hope you won't do this alone. I hope you'll join a small group, and it's perfect for y'all at 9:30. Just go hang out with Dean and Julie R. Curry after this and continue the conversation. Because I'm curious what you're thinking, and I'm curious how the gospel is connecting with your heart and your lives, and what God is tugging at in there. And I know they want to hear be a part of that story and that journey too. So I hope you'll join small group community life there as we continue to wrestle with these scriptures. Unpacking this hard stuff. And yet there's this greater call to discipleship, to love God and neighbor, to seek to know God, love God, and serve God. But won't you come be a part of this journey of discipleship? Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, you call us to follow, and sometimes that's following to drop our nets and to jump out of the boat and follow, and that is hard in and of itself, and yet when we think about following you, if it's maybe going to ruffle some feathers or be hard amongst family relationship, oh, Lord, that's even harder to struggle with. We hate to think about having to choose. Oh, Lord, there is a both and. We can both love our family and we can both follow you, Jesus. And so we pray this day that we, as we seek to walk in your way, we pray, Lord, for those relationships in our families that do have a little tension right now, Lord, that you would make your way a way of peace. Lord, if there are a little few tension-filled relationships and families right now, that you would help us to have those hard conversations in love and in kindness. Oh God, we seek to follow you, and this is a hard call of discipleship. But Lord, your love and your mercy and your justice never ends. And so fill us up this day. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to understand and hearts to go forth out in love and grace, serving God and neighbor. And God, give us a curiosity to keep growing and to keep learning and to keep wondering and keep digging into Scripture. Give us hearts on fire for you, Lord. We pray all of this in the one who knows us and calls us your beloved. Amen.
Fisherman Peter.
Stephanie Nickoff, as Pastor Lynn said, I am the coordinator of congregational care here. That hat encompasses many things. Pastor Lindsay encouraged me to have some more face time with you all, so here I am giving you the pastoral prayer. First, I want to mention the prayer quilts that will be on the table in the narthex when you leave service. Tie a double knot, say a prayer, and sign the card. Now, if you will join me and an attitude of prayer. Redeeming Creator, you are all welcoming and knowing of who we are, even when we do not know ourselves. You love us unconditionally in spite of our repeated acts of sin and self-recriminations. Accept our heartfelt apologies and willingness to learn, working towards your example of goodness and grace. You give to us so much. May we use those talents and resources to help others who have been displaced from their homes because of finances, famine, or war. Show us how to be better communicators of your word to bring about change and peace for so many that feel on the margins and those who do not feel heard or seen at all. May we be silent enough to sit with those suffering with health complications, physically or mentally. Through us, may they feel your love and acceptance. Surround and hold close Barb, Dennis, and Cheryl, our prayer quilt recipients. May they feel the prayer said for them this day. Please hear us now as we come to you silently. Thank you for your understanding and love so that we can fulfill the plans you have set for us. As you have taught us, hear us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning, as you celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, please know that all are welcome to come and receive the bread of life and the cup of grace. Whether you've been a United Methodist your whole life, whether this is the first time you've come into the doors of a church, no matter how old you are, whether you're young enough to mush food as a toddler or you're well into your 90s and over 100, all are welcome to the table of grace. For it is here that we encounter Christ and we experience a transforming love made unconditional for us. As we gather at the table, we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he gave it to the disciples, telling them to take and eat, for this is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They dined, and they ate, and they conversed, and they shared in fellowship time together. And then when the supper was over, then Jesus took a cup maybe perhaps something like this. And again, he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it, and he gave it to the disciples, telling them to drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you may in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We turn our lives back over to God to be the hands and feet and voice and heart of Christ here on earth. And we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup. May they be for us the body of Christ and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, Lord, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church. All honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. In a moment, the ushers are going to invite you to come forward to receive communion. We'll do so by coming forward on these side-angled aisles. We're going to serve from the front to the back. As you come forward, you're going to discover that there are two serving stations on the outsides here. Those are going to have regular bread and grape juice. And then Pastor Lynn and Stephanie are going to be in the center aisle here with gluten-free bread and grape juice. You'll receive a small piece of bread. Go ahead and eat it. And then you'll also receive a little cup of juice. Go ahead and drink the juice. As you make your way then to your seat, you're going to come through the center aisles there, and there are two little baskets. I would invite you to gently place this in the baskets because they're glass cups, so be very careful with them. Gently place it in there, and then you can return to your seat. I would invite the communion servers to come forward to help to wait upon us, and then the ushers will invite you to come forward in a moment after that.
So now we come to our time of offering, and I invite the ushers to come forward. But I wanted to share with you a little bit, you know, really that hard scripture we were listening today, it's sort of about the cost of being a disciple, right? And this morning when I was doing my morning devotions, I turned to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, and I found out, or noticed for the first time, that Jesus paid a cost for following God. Of course, there's the cross, but in that very first chapter, there was a day, very early on in his ministry, when he saw a man who was a leper. Now, it was very much against the rules to touch a leper, right? And yet, the scripture says Jesus looked at that leper and he had compassion on him. And he chose compassion over those rules. And he reached out and he touched the leper. And the leper was healed. But here's where the cost came in for Jesus. Listen to verse 45. So the leper had gone out and began talking freely, spreading the news about how he was healed, even though Jesus had asked him not to. And here's the important line about the cost to Jesus. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in a lonely place. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. So as we think about the cost of discipleship, it can be our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, or our witness. But there are costs, and it's hard to think of, but it's true. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we thank you for the many ways you have blessed us. Help us to be generous in sharing our talents and wealth with others. Bless the offering we bring and use them to bless others as we have been blessed. In your name we pray, amen.
with the scriptures in one hand and this great book in another hand, I would invite you to join Julie and Dean after this for study. So, hey, impromptu Julie and Dean, come stand by me at the end of worship so that way you can help people find the classroom. You guys can find Julie and Dean. They'll be by me. You can find where you're going. May you go forth now with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit helping you to love God and neighbor and seeking to faithfully follow as his disciple. Go forth this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.